Across the country, fans are mourning Frank Sinatra, who died from a heart attack overnight in Los Angeles. He was 82. Tributes poured in from friends and celebrities, including Bono of the Irish rock band U2, who credited Sinatra with inventing pop music. Officials at the Empire State Building in New York said they'll honor Sinatra by illuminating the top of the building with blue light all weekend. The singer was born across the river from New York in Hoboken, New Jersey.
This is All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Robert Siegel.
There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that she turns out to be someone who'll watch over me.
Frank Sinatra sang of love and sorrow, and as he aged, he shed one voice for another and one persona for the next. From the crooning tenor with pompadour and bow tie came the husky-voiced singer under the street lamp, cigarette dangling, trench coat draped over the shoulder. And then the nightclub ringmaster, chairman of the board with tux and cocktail. He inspired such fanatical squealing among his Bobby Soxer following in the 1940s that years later, when Presley and the Beatles produced similar scenes, Sinatra was adult America's benchmark for understanding such things. But he also inspired people in deeper and more enduring ways. Representative Jose Serrano, for one. A couple of years ago, we invited the Bronx Democrat to talk about the man he successfully proposed for a congressional medal. And today, we invited Congressman Serrano back to talk now about the late Frank Sinatra.
I do not recall a day in my adult life when I did not listen to Sinatra at least once. And men are supposed to be very strong, and in this society, men are not supposed to cry. Well, Sinatra did a lot of crying for a lot of years by singing songs like no one else has ever sung. So it meant a lot to me that this individual existed during my lifetime.
When you think of a song from Sinatra's earliest years recording, what's a song that... That says all that to you, and it sounds like Sinatra being the man who could cry?
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the early years there was different Sinatras. The Sinatra that sang the first song he recorded, From the Bottom of My Heart, the Sinatra who would sing You're My Girl, The Boys All Know That. There was a certain next door prom night innocence to that voice. And yet, by the time he gets to sing I'm a Fool to Want You, time after time, close to you, there was already that sound and that voice of a man who took life seriously, who wanted so much to be in love, who had been fortunate to be in love and unfortunate to fall out of love or have love rejected. And so at that point, he already was developing and we were seeing the different aspects of Sinatra.
I'm a fool to want you. I'm a fool to want you. To want a love that can't be true. A love that's there for others too. I'm a fool to hold you. Such a fool to hold you. To seek a kiss, not mine alone. To share a kiss the devil has known. Time and time again I said I'd leave you. Time and time again.
Under some pressure over the years, you have come up with a single favorite Sinatra song. I know the whole idea of there being a single favorite
Sinatra song is contrary to the very idea of how many wonderful songs you recorded. What's your number one?
On the Capitol recording, The Point of No Return, is I'll Remember April, a song that talks about how this day will lengthen into evening and we'll say goodbye to all we've ever had, but I'll still remember April and be glad.
This lovely day will lengthen into evening. We'll sigh goodbye to all we've ever had. Alone, where we have walked together, I'll remember April and be glad.
When you hear I'll Remember April, do you think of a particular time and place in your life, or is it, does it summon memories for you in particular?
Well, you know, that's really a fascinating thing about my love for Sinatra's music. I've been able to take his music and apply it to different times in my life. So, yes, they're not the kind of songs where he would sing them once, you would relate to them at that time in your life, and then drop them and never related to them again. To this day, those songs, like I'll Remember April, or like a sad song, or Angel Eyes, or Drinking Again, or so many other wonderful songs, they always have meaning.
Angel Eyes is a favorite of yours.
Angel Eyes is a wonderful song where he sort of sweeps in as only Sinatra can into a bar or some little cafe somewhere, and he tells everybody, hey, drink up, all you people. You know, you have a great time, and you have that time on me. But please understand that I'm going through a difficult time because my angel eyes ain't here.
Angel eyes, that old devil sent, they glow unbearably bright. Need I say that my love's misspent with angel eyes tonight? So drink up, all of you people. And have fun, you happy people. The drink and the laughs on me.
Some of Sinatra's later songs were sung in a self-referential way. They were songs of an older man looking back on his life.
Yes, he did. And when he sings songs that say things like, beautiful girls, walk a little slower when you walk by me, a reference to the fact that he could have been getting older and people had to slow down around him. Or when he sings about looking in the mirror and seeing a man who no longer has the bushy hair and the bow tie. Yes, he does exactly what you're talking about, and later on he did that more and more. He couldn't have sung My Way when he was 25 years old, but at 50, at 55, and later on when he sings My Way, well, no one was going to argue.
When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for small town girls and soft summer nights. We'd hide from the lights on the village green. I was 17.
somewhere, sometime between the skinny kid band singer of the 1940s and the chairman of the board of the 1960s and later, there is the swinger. There's the Sinatra singing upbeat big band Nelson Riddle arranged songs and being a cool guy.
What's wonderful about Sinatra is that even with the big band and the up-tempo tune, they never stopped being romantic songs. That's why he introduced what is considered the romantic ballad, the ability to sing songs that swing but are still telling you a message, and it's a message of love.
Let's take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love. Hey, baby, what's your hurry? Relax and don't you worry. We're gonna fall in love. We're on the road to romance, that's safe to say. But let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime, 'cause nice and easy does it every time.
You don't get to be the power that he was, the powerful presence that he had, by only being a performer, although there's no such thing as only the kind of performer he was. Frank Sinatra will probably go down in history as one of the most well-rounded Americans in terms of his involvement. I will remember him that way, but I would be a liar to you if I told you that I will not remember him mostly for the ability to sing like no one else will probably ever sing again.
Well, Congressman Serrano, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Well, thank you.
Jose Serrano is Democratic Congressman from New York. He spoke to us from Capitol Hill.
I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world. Man, this is a lie. Hey now, I'm so in
The later Sinatra, next, on All Things Considered. This is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. When writer Michael Ventura was growing up in New York in the 1950s, Frank Sinatra was like part of the family. People in Ventura's Sicilian neighborhood listened to his songs, talked about him, and copied Sinatra's streetwise style, the way he walked, the way he held a cigarette. Ventura wrote a novel in 1996 called The Death of Frank Sinatra. The singer appears only once in the book, doing a concert in the 1990s. This is the old Sinatra, late in his career, his Ventura, reading an excerpt from the book.
The man was speaking now. I'm just waiting for a downbeat, not a bus. Where are you working tomorrow? The musicians laughed. The conductor, that little round man, laughed. That's my son, the guy with the earphones. I had to promise his mother I'd give the bum a job. More laughter. But something was wrong on the stage. The music was playing, but Sinatra wasn't singing. He was looking around as though he's forgotten where he was. He started a lyric, then stopped. It didn't fit the music. He looked frightened, a scared boy in the body of an old man. He turned toward his son, whose presence seemed to remind him of who he was. He was Frank Sinatra. He was there to sing love songs to history. And he wheeled around and began to beg, but in the proudest terms, that luck be a lady tonight, and that she keep the party polite, and that she not blow on some other guy's dice. But it had been an awful moment to see that confidence suddenly abandoned, with nothing in the man to take its place. He sang more slowly now, that it seemed we'd stood and talked like this before, and he was right. That we'd looked at each other in the same way then, but there was no way to remember where or when. He sang in the young voice and the old, back and forth, where and when unknowable. And as the lyrics climbed to the final high note, he became, in his voice, younger and younger, until he hit the last when, roundly and fully, and held that note a long time. And when the note and the word were finally exhausted, the loose muscles of his fatty face trembled, as though they'd been unaccountably left behind, and his eyes were frightened again. He had to know that it was very possible that this was the last time his voice would rise to such a height, and he looked like an old man who had said an irreparable goodbye. He took a few steps, tried to recover. Slowly, he started to speak. "I'm what they call a saloon singer." For most of the performance, he had been singing happily about love, jauntily. Perhaps that was in part a function of age. It was easier with that ravaged and undependable voice to sing faster tempos that gave him the flexibility to go through many changes and use many approaches. Slow, sad songs required rounder tones and more control, could not be played with as easily, were far more dangerous. He's risking humiliation every moment. Say what you like, that's a very brave man. The song began. "He's telling us to drink up, all we happy people." Nobody here looks very happy, but he's admitting that we're happier than him. He says he's paying for the drinks and the laughs. He's paying for everything, because a woman with angel eyes is gone. And she's really gone. What a tenderness he has for her. What a terrible, generous, all-encompassing tenderness. He's not bitter. He's not angry at her. Those angel eyes had every right to look elsewhere. He asks us to excuse him, because he must disappear. And his voice is disappearing with him. A scratchy whisper, like an old wax record played on an old machine. With unbearable politeness, with a tenderness close to death, the death of his voice, he is saying, "Excuse me, I must disappear. There are no angel eyes left in the room. No reason to stay." He's tired. He could not live unless he sang to us, but each time he sings, he dares humiliation. Lets us watch the dying relationship between him and his voice, him and his memory, him and that angelic one whom he could not hold, whom he was no man for, whom his tenderness could finally not sustain, whom his darkness drove away. Everything is ended. Everything is over. He can't even say, "Excuse me," anymore. He thanks us. He's leaving us. He touched what we like to think was our history, and it has left him like this, and now he is leaving us. Everyone cheered as he walked off the stage. Do they know what they're cheering? Do they know they're watching a man rehearse his death?
We put one in every performance, if you've seen us perform before, and it's called the Saloon Song. I do one in each performance because somebody somewhere sometime dubbed me the Saloon Singer. So I don't want to disappoint him.
Michael Ventura's novel is titled The Death of Frank Sinatra. His reading originally appeared on the public radio program This American Life.
Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you. So lucky to be the one you run to see in the evening when the day is through. I only know what I know. The passing years will show you've kept my love so young, so new. And time after time, you'll hear me say that I'm so lucky to be loving.
Our
program is directed by Bob Boylan, edited by Jonathan Kern, and produced by Sean Collins. The technical director is Parrish Morgan.
Audio engineers include Vince Muse, Suzanne Mesnick, Preston Brown, John Widoff, Mark Greenhouse, Sue Klein, Patrick Murray, and Dave Hayden here in Washington.
Manoli Wetherill, Kirill Wheeler, Neil Rauch, and Dave Gorin in New York City.
Lorna White in Chicago.
And Leo DeLagula in Los Angeles.
The executive producer is Ellen Weiss. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Robert Siegel. You're listening to NPR's All Things Considered.
I only know what I know. The passing years will show. You've kept my love so young, so new. To be loving.